our sister Irene is sick, and Dwight is home with her, so Brother Eddie was filling in for him tonight, leading the singing. And I was going to call him and request that song, and I thought, no, whatever the Lord leads him to do will be fine. I'm glad we just sung that. Turn with me, if you would, back to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. I received a word of encouragement last week from a dear man and his dear wife, and they were saying that they were praying for me, which is always so nice to hear. And they quoted Colossians 1, 9 to 12. They said, "This is our prayer for you." I said, "We just want you to know we're praying for you, and this is our prayer for you." And it touched me so much, it made me want to bring a message from this chapter to say to them, this is my prayer for them. And to say to you, this is my prayer for you. This is our prayer for all of God's people. I want to begin in verse 1, and we'll work our way down to those verses. Verse 1 says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother." Whatever we are, it's by the will of God. Whatever we are what we are by the grace of God, according to the will of God. That's just so, isn't it? Whatever we are, wherever we are, however we are. It's a wonderful thing to know that and to really enter into that. It's peaceful. It's restful. Whatever we are, wherever we are, however we are, it's all according to the will of God. This is the will of God concerning us. Good times, bad times. We have both. Hard times, easy times, blessings, trials, health, sickness, whatever it is. Whatever we are, wherever we are, however we are, it's all according to the will of the Lord concerning us. And we gladly say, we really do gladly say, "Not our will, Lord, thine be done." We say that, don't we? Of His own will begat He us to be what He made us to be. And what was that? What have all of God's people been made to be? Look at verse 2. It says right here, "Saints and brethren in Christ, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae." And he's also speaking to the brethren in Kingsport. He really is. He's speaking to all of his brethren, wherever they may be, wherever the saints and brethren in Christ are. He called them faithful brethren in Christ. What a title. Faithful brethren in Christ. What makes God's people faithful? I know you're not going to answer, but I'm giving you time to think. What makes God's people faithful? The one they are in. Faithful in Christ. Faithful brethren in Christ. He is faithful. Aren't you so glad to know that? The message tonight is on knowing things. And I'm so glad to know that. He is faithful. And God's people are in Him. Therefore, they are faithful in Him. If He's faithful and they're in Him, they're faithful in Him. But it's not their faithfulness, it's His. It's His faithfulness to His people. So faithful. Verse 2 says, "To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace. You hear that a lot in the Scripture, don't you? Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Think about this. Grace gave us Christ. You said that this morning. Grace gave us Christ. God's grace gave us Christ. That was His favor to us. That was His kindness to us. That was His free gift to us. Grace gave us Christ. Christ gave us peace. Grace gave us Christ, and Christ gave us peace. Look at verse 20 right here in Colossians chapter 1. Verse 20 says, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross." Peace through the blood. Peace through the blood of His cross. "By Him to reconcile all things unto Himself." By Him, I say. I love it whenever Paul speaks like that in the Scriptures. I enter into that. He makes a statement and then he says, let me make sure you got that. "By Him to reconcile all things unto Himself." By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." God's grace gave us Christ, and God's Christ gave us peace. Look back at verse 3. Colossians 1 verse 3 says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." He said, we've been given thanks to God. Paul said, Timothy and I, we've been giving thanks to God ever since we heard of your faith in Christ. And that's what God's people do. When we find out that someone or a group of people has faith in Christ, we give thanks to God for that. We give such thanks to God. He said, we've been giving thanks to God ever since we heard of your faith in Christ and your love toward all the saints and the hope that has been laid up for you ever since you heard of the grace of God in Christ. Faith, hope, and love. That describes the child of God. That really describes God's saints. They have faith in Christ. They have been given, therefore they have faith in Christ. They have hope in Christ. They have an expected anticipation. They have been given, and therefore they have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have love in Christ. And the key word there is Christ. Christ, Christ, Christ. That's the fruit that verse 6 is talking about right here. Faith in Christ, hope in Christ, love in Christ. That is the fruit. Verse 6 says, "Which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, faith, hope, love. As it doth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister in Christ." This man Epaphras was their pastor. He was the pastor of the church in Colossae. And Paul said, you learned these things through the man that God sent to preach to you. And so did I. I learned these things through the men that God sent to preach to me, and I'm thankful for those men. The first one being my very own father, and I'm thankful. So thankful for that. Verse 8 says, "Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Paul said, Epaphras, your pastor, declared to Timothy and myself your love. He was telling us about your love, the love that you have for God, the love that you have for His gospel, the love that you have for His people. There is nothing that I want more for this congregation than for us to have love for God, love for His gospel, and love for His people, each other. There's nothing that I want more in myself and for all of us. There's nothing more beautiful for a child of God to put on and wear than love. Love, true love. It is the character of God's people. They love. They love God. They really do. They love God, the true and living God, the God who really is God. They love God. Why? Because He first loved them. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. They truly do love the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He was sent to be the propitiation for their sins. That word means the bloody victim, the sacrifice for their sins. And they love God's people. They really do. They don't try to divide God's people or interrogate God's people or attack God's people. Every soul that loves God loves all those that are begotten of God. How do you know who is begotten of God? They believe God. They hold to, they cling to the truth of the Word of God. That's what he was saying. Ever since you heard the truth of it, you believed it, you hoped in it, and you loved it. And God's people, that's what they do. They won't compromise it to try to make anybody happy or try to create a false peace that's not really there. They will look to Christ, who is the Word of God, alone. And they'll believe Christ, who is the Word of God, alone. Christ alone. Verse 8, Paul said, Epaphras declared to us your love in the Spirit. And therefore, verse 9, he said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is what Paul prayed for them. This is what that dear brother and sister prayed for me. This is what I pray for all of us. I pray that we might be filled, and I mean filled, with the knowledge of His will. Paul said, I pray that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. I pray that we might be filled with it. I pray that we might hear the will of the Father, what the will of the Father is so much. I honestly pray that we might hear what the will of the Father is so much we are absolutely filled with the knowledge of it. I pray that we might be filled with the knowledge, the wisdom, and the spiritual understanding of that. Now let me ask this question. What is the Father's will? Do we know what His will is? Let's hear it again so we can be filled with it, okay? Turn with me, if you would, to John 6. May we be absolutely filled with the knowledge of this. John 6, look with me at verse 38. Our Lord said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I pray that we might be filled with the knowledge of that. What is the will of God? They all have the same will, Father, Son, and Spirit. There's one will, one God and one will. What is the will of God? It's this, that every soul that the Father gave to Christ, Christ should do the work of eternally securing that soul, redeeming that soul, cleansing that soul, washing that soul in his own blood, making that soul acceptable and worthy to stand in the presence of God. That's an amazing work that Christ accomplished, who could take a poor, wretched sinner like this and make that miserable creature worthy to stand in the presence of God Almighty. What a work. What a work. He said, I'll raise that soul up with us in the last day. That's his will. That is his will. Every bit of it is dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's good to know that, isn't it? It's good to know that. Paul said, I pray you might know that. Really know that. Every time you see the demands of the Father, I pray you might know that Christ did it. He settled it. It's good to be filled with that knowledge. Go with me back to Colossians 1. Verse 9. He said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He said, I pray you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. And he said, I pray that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. What is it to walk worthy of the Lord? I pray this for us. I pray that we might walk worthy of the Lord. What is it to walk worthy of the Lord? Is it to walk in the bondage of the law that nobody's able to fulfill? Because that's naturally the first thing you think of. Is it to try to live this life in a way that when God looks at it, he says, you're worthy on your own. That's good enough. You're worthy to enter into my presence on your own. That's not it. Christ came and walked that walk for us. Christ came and accomplished that for us because we couldn't do it. What is it to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God? Here it is. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. That is walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Spirit brings faith to God's people. Faith, hope, love, that is well-pleasing in the sight of the Lord. That faith is not of ourselves. That's the gift of God to us. But we walk in the faith that he's given to us, and we hope in what he has given to us, and we love in what he has given to us, believing Christ, looking to Christ, longing for Christ, waiting for and longing for the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that we all might walk through this life that way. I pray that I might walk through this life that way. If the Lord does not allow me to, I'm not going to. But I sure do wish He would allow me to. Looking for, longing for, believing, hoping in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is exactly how our Lord instructed us to walk in Matthew 6. If you look with me at Matthew 6. May the Lord really teach us this. We know this so well. We know these verses so well, but may the Lord really teach us this. Matthew 6, look with me at verse 25. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Does anybody here take thought for their life? Do you think about your life and the decisions you ought to make in life and all those kinds of things? He said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, which you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, the unbelievers. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Verse 33, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That is a well-pleasing walk. Looking to Christ, trusting Christ. I pray that we all might trust Christ. Whatever He's doing with us, I pray we might trust Him. Lord, just let me trust You. So go with me back to Colossians 1. I'll be quick. Colossians 1 verse 9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. If we are going to be strengthened, it is only going to be with His power, not our own. And if we're going to be strengthened with His power, then we are going to be made weak with our own power. That's so. That is honestly so. If He is going to spiritually strengthen us, don't you want to be spiritually strengthened? Strong in faith, strong in hope, strong in love. Don't you want to be spiritually strengthened? We pray that, Lord, increase our faith. And okay. If He is going to spiritually strengthen us in Christ, then He is going to spiritually weaken us in ourselves. That's the flip side of it. I pray that for us. I know it's strange, but I pray that for us. It's not strange to the believer. I pray that for us. I sincerely pray that God might give every one of us a heart that cries with John the Baptist, I must decrease and mean it. I mean, we all know it. But I mean it. He must increase. I must decrease. I must. I pray that for us. I pray that God will give us a heart that truly says that. Paul said when we are weak before God, weak in the flesh, weak in the spirit, weak in the soul, weak in everything, he said that's when we're strong in the Lord. That moment when we realize you're the only strength I have. I pray that for us. I pray that the only strength that we have before God is the strength of His glorious power. Verse 11. Paul said, I pray that you'll be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Meet means sufficient. It means qualified. It means worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. If we are meet to be a partaker of that, it's only because He made us to be meet to be a partaker of that. He made us to be worthy to be a partaker of the inheritance. And how did He do that? How did He make us worthy to be a partaker of light? Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. He delivered us and He translated us. And like Paul repeated it, He did. Who did it? He did it. He did it. He delivered us from the power of darkness, the power of sin. He has sincerely delivered us from the, on the cross, He delivered us from the penalty of sin. And He has delivered us from the power of sin. The scripture says sin does not have dominion over us. One day soon, He'll deliver us from the presence of sin. We still carry it. We still bear it. And He's going to do that by translating us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And that means the Son of His love. The kingdom of the Son of His love. Just like Enoch was translated into His presence. He was here, then he was not. He was just translated into His presence. That's going to be the case for every child of God. We're going to be here, then we're going to be not. Translated into His presence. Paul said, I pray that we all might be filled with this knowledge, the knowledge of His will. The will is His. The walk is His. The strength is His. The work is His. The deliverance is His. The translation is His. All of it belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. I pray that we might know that. I pray that God might fill us with that knowledge and we might know that. We might know His love for us and know what He's done for us. I'm done, but you've heard the story so many times of that little girl who lived with Walter and Betty Groover, our missionaries in Mexico. And they took her in, and she was one of their family. She lived with them for years. She was one of their children. And for the longest time, she was never disciplined. Walter and Betty's kids were disciplined. And she knew that there was a difference. You know, they'd all get into trouble, and Walter and Betty's kids would go get their spankings, and she'd be left. Well, one day, she pitched a fit, and Walter said, what are you doing? And as soon as she realized she had his attention, she kicked it up a notch. And he said, if you don't stop that, I'm going to spank you. So she kept going, and he made his word good. And after it was over, he came out and told Betty that after he had disciplined her, she crawled up into his lap, gave him that big old hug, and she said, now I know you love me. She needed that. So do we. Now I know you love me. I pray for us that we might be filled with that knowledge of His love for us and what He's done for us. We read verse 14 that says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And that passes right over our heads. I pray that we might be filled with a knowledge of what that means. His love and what it means for us. All right. May the Lord answer our prayer. Brother Eddie, you come.